So I'm sitting there and I'm paying attention. And that was the problem. I was paying attention. I was paying attention and I was listening to this false message. Well, this, when somebody looks at you and says to go to heaven, you have to repent of your sins and believe in Jesus. That's not believing in Jesus. That's believing and repenting of your sins. When somebody tells you, yep, all you have to do to go to heaven is dedicate your life to the Lord, ask him into your heart, do all these things. Well, you can ask the Lord into your heart 1,000 times. If you don't believe in him, you're not going to heaven. The Bible's very clear. There's one thing you have to do to go to heaven. That's believe.
Hey guys, welcome back to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez, and today we have an interview with Michael and Nicole Brown. These are good friends of mine. I met them probably around 2018 or 19 when they moved down from the wicked state of Georgia and have found solace in the beautiful state
of Florida.
But these are good friends of mine, and Michael, Nicole, soul winners. They understand the gospel. And I wanted them to come on and get their video recorded for their interview because they actually have their audio recording. I can't remember the name of the episode, but it was back when we had it labeled as Calvary Connect. It was something we did during COVID to kind of give people an option to tell their stories, and y'all were one of the first ones. And we've gone from the office up in my house, yeah. That little tiny room,
I remember
to
that
here we got a full studio, cameras, microphones, and all that. So I'm looking forward to chatting with y'all today, and I appreciate you making the time to come out.
Absolutely.
Busy people, very busy people. They got 2 kids in Christian school, running a full-time business, all sorts of good stuff. But can you tell us, you know, like, start from the beginning, how'd you come to understand salvation?
Oh, wow. What a question. I would say seven, eight years ago, we were living up in Georgia. I was born in Decatur, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Decatur is where Curtis Hudson had his church, mm-hmm. Forest Hills Baptist Church, I believe it was. And then I grew up in a town, Fayetteville, Georgia, south of that, and kind of moved all over here and there, traveled around a little bit. But I was a firefighter up there, and Nicole was a firefighter too. And I worked for different fire departments and off and had businesses and things like that. And grew up in church, and the church I grew up in, they had a muddy gospel. They added works to the salvation message, the gospel, and there's no peace in that. And we were in the burn building all day long. We were at the fire department. We were taking rookies in and out all day long. And we get back to the station, and I was doing yard work the day before out in the hot sun and just different things like that. And I was dehydrated. We get back to the fire station, and saw some of the young kids out there playing basketball. I was like, I'm going to show them what's up. So I go out there and start playing basketball. And in the middle of all that, my chest started hurting. And I said, man, what is going on?
Mm.
Well, one of the firemen came over. We put myself on a pulse ox. My heart rate was 225 beats a minute. And I knew something was wrong. I'm like, I didn't even know a heart could do that. Well, we go inside. We get hooked up to the heart monitor. And as soon as I saw it, I knew what it was. It was a heart rhythm called SVT, supraventricular tachycardia. And I didn't know it at the time, but I was born with a heart condition called 3 out of 1,000 get it. So it's called Wolff-Parkinson's-White syndrome, WPW. And it means I have an extra pathway. So if your heart finds that extra pathway, your heart will go into another rhythm. And it misses a beat. It just kind of circles. Well, I knew exactly what it was. And people say, oh, it's not fatal. You'll be okay. We'll get you out of it. Well, that's a problem. I was a firefighter for 19 years at EMT, and I ran on plenty of people with SVT. And one of the last guys that I ran on that had SVT, he didn't make it. Mm. And so that was all that was on my mind. So here I am. My heart rate's 225. I can't get out of this heart rhythm. The medic is getting something to eat, and I'm just sitting there. And so I didn't know where I was going when I died. I knew there was a heaven. I knew there was a heaven. I believed that it was Jesus. I just didn't know that I could know that I was going to heaven. I didn't know the Bible said that, 1 John 5:13. So this is what I was doing. I was sitting there and I was saying, Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, please forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I thought that was what was necessary to go to heaven.
Yeah.
I knew I was fixing to stand in front of him. And thank the Lord, I was just like, if you just get me out of this, I'm going to figure this out. Well, the medic came back. They have to give you a drug called adenosine. And the first time they gave it, it didn't work. And the second time, my heart rate went from 225 to 15 beats a minute. That's like death. I mean, it was an icky feeling. I'll never forget it. And I've had that drug several times since then. And several surgeries. Well, so I'm sitting there, and it's just, you know, finally my heart rate goes back to rhythm. So we're thinking maybe that's just a one-time thing.
Yeah.
2 months later, my son was born, and he went into SVT. And we spent a week in ICU. His heart rate went to 305 beats a minute. Mm. And watching your two-week-old son and hook the paddles up to him and the AED pads and stuff, that was hard. It was the hardest week of my life. Mm. And I said, you know, I'm not a smart guy, but I know the Lord's trying to talk to me. And so I said, you know, Lord, I want to figure this out. You show me. Do I have to repent of all my sins? What do I got to do to go to heaven? I want to know, what do I got to do to go to heaven? I want to know the Bible's way of going to heaven. If I got to turn from my sins, how many? The big ones, the little ones, what do I got to do? You know, I was told my whole life, you have to repent of your sins to go to heaven. And you have to dedicate your life to the Lord, and you got to do all this other stuff. A lot of questions, you know, that leave unanswered with that message. It's a false message.
Yeah.
And it doesn't save anybody. So I started out with 50 preachers, 40 or 50 preachers on YouTube. And I told Nicole, I said, if they don't say anything that is in the Bible, I'm getting rid of them. They're out of here. It didn't take long at all. I narrowed it down to three preachers: Curtis Hudson, Yankee Arnold, and Hank Lindstrom. Mm. And these guys were answering my questions that I had. And the biggest way they answered my question was they gave me the gospel.
Yeah.
And the gospel answers all the questions. Christ died for your sins. He was buried, rose from the dead 3 days later. If you believe he did that and did it for you, you get to go to heaven. Period.
Yeah.
End of story. It's not about your works. It's not about how you live. None of that. Well, I didn't believe when I saw Yankee at first. I didn't believe him at first. So I set out to prove him wrong. And I started reading the Bible, and I said, this guy's right. It says it right there. For by grace you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Yeah.
And if that means that, nothing else can mean anything different. So when I got a hold of that mess, I mean, when I got a hold of that, it was just like everything changed, you know. When I was told you had to live a certain way to go to heaven, you know, I lived that way. I lived the other way.
Right.
And when I heard Yankee Arnold say, how you live your life on this earth don't make a hill of beans, but you spend eternity. And I saw it, and I believed the God. I believed in Jesus and knew that he had already done all the work. I stopped doing those things. It's kind of a funny situation. But, you know, once I came to the knowledge of truth, it was just, it changed everything. So, Nicole, we were listening. We were getting back into church, and we were new to a lot of the stuff. And I remember coming home from the fire station one day, and Nicole was watching a particular preacher on TV, and I knew, you know, he had a 15-question test, find out if you're saved, you know, something like that. I said, get that man off my TV. That's not how you go to heaven. So I told her the good news. We've told my family. And, you know, I've seen the gospel and the power of God and the gospel just affect my family. And yeah. We've taken it. And the last time I had surgery was in December. So this all started happening about 7 years ago. Well, December of last year, I'd already had one heart surgery, one ablation, but they didn't get all of it. So I go up to South Carolina to my sister's house, and I started going back into it again. Well, I really almost died this time. I mean, I went into SVT a couple hundred times. The first surgery, I'm on the operating table, and I go into AFib. I go into SVT, then SVT to AFib, and AFib with WPW is lethal. And I'm laying on the table, and I asked the guy, how are you going to get me out of AFib? And he says, we're going to cardiovert you. And I said, well, make sure you put me to sleep before you do that. He goes, oh, I forgot you know about all this stuff. They were going to... So they put me to sleep, and they zapped me, and I still have the AFib, but I haven't had problems with it in a while. But the last time I had the surgery in December, you know, the first time I'm sitting there, just, Lord, you know, I mean, I'm crying, bawling tears. I'd been in the SVT for so long that when they got me out of it, I was convulsing. Mm. And it's by the grace of God that I'm even still here. And and there's a reason why I'm here. It's for this message. People need to listen to what we're saying is, you know, things that are different are not the same. What we're saying that's in the Bible, this is the only message there is. So in December, when I was going through all this stuff, I went into SVT how many times? I mean, I was in it for 30 minutes one time, and it hurt so bad in my heart. When it would come out of it, it would hit me, and it would just hurt, and I'd be sitting there. I was so tired. And I kept quoting a Bible verse that I learned in Minor Prophets, but I just kept repeating Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust him. And I was so calm, was I not? Mm-hmm. I was just the difference from 7 years ago when I didn't have the clear gospel, when mm-hmm. I didn't have the knowledge of truth, and how I was just so, you know, to 7 years later, I was just
peace.
I knew when I get that surgery, I was either going to wake up there, or I was going to wake up here, and I'm a winner either way. Yeah. I'm not ready to go, but that was it. So that's how I came to the knowledge of truth. And Nicole, you can, I guess, if you want to elaborate.
Nicole, if you want to share.
My journey wasn't so much, I was never raised in church. Mm-hmm. I think I recently learned, probably a year ago now, maybe, that my parents did grow up in church. All of my dad's family has always been really big into church. And I was like, well, why were me and my brother not brought up in church? You know, usually, typically, if your parents are brought up in a church, you're going to be brought up in that same church mm-hmm. setting. And my mom explained to me that the church that they attended got involved with Jim Baker and Tammy Faye Baker, and it just really turned my dad away. So
yeah.
I lost my dad at the age of 12. And I'm hoping that because of the fact that they walked away from the church is the reason why he knew a clear gospel, the true gospel, and not a false message. So that's my only hope, that I'll see him again one day.
Yeah.
I think that is the one thing, that now that we know the true gospel, because if it wasn't for Michael, I'd probably just still be living life.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, you know, not I'm going to die one day, but, you know, I never really put it into thought of what happens when I die. Where am I going to go when I die?
Yeah.
And so it's a relief that I met Michael and he shared the gospel with me, and we kind of started out that journey to what is the truth?
Mm-hmm.
How do you go to heaven? You know, what do you have to do? And it was simple when we, you know, finally figured out the true gospel, that all you have to do is believe in Jesus, and that's it. You can't, there's nothing else that you can do. I mean, we're all sinners. We're filthy rags. And, mm-hmm. you know, thanks to Jesus for, you know, seeing that and knowing that, you know, he came and paid for all of our sins. And it's just by grace that we have that, you know, he loves us that much. And mm-hmm. I know that I'm thankful for it, but it gives me more of a motivation in a way to want to share that with other people. You know, and I saw Michael, he would battle with his family
mm-hmm.
because they grew up on that message of you have to do good, you have to be good. And it's nothing about works. And they fought him on that so much, but because he was persistent and he kept giving them, well, just go and look at this. Go and you know, he did the same thing. Prove me wrong.
Mm.
Go look at scripture and prove me wrong that what I'm saying to you is false. And they couldn't. And they came back and they finally got it.
When they saw it, they took off with it.
They're
just like
on fire for the Lord now. And so to see people that, you know, they're lost in scripture, and to see that click with them on just a true, simple gospel, it gives you more motivation. And just to see the people that we've come across that, you know, they come out and say, I've really been searching. I've really been asking God to show me. And here you guys are, and you're telling me what I've been searching for. And it's just so simple, so clear. And to know that you make a difference in somebody's life, and to know that they're going to spend eternity in heaven one day, and they're not going to be suffering in hell. It's such a big motivation to keep going and keep telling people, because the way that the world today is, it's just, it's getting worse and worse. And I don't know what I would do if I didn't have the hope of the gospel.
Yeah.
And it's given me so much relief, especially as a mother, that I can go and I can pray to the Lord and be like, Lord, just how do I face today with the issues that are coming up? How do I, you know, deal with my kids, and how do I explain things to them? So to be able to take the gospel and the scriptures and be able to help them in day-to-day life or questions that they have, it's such a huge blessing for me, because before I probably would have been like, I don't know.
A lot of people are in y'all's spot. Well, pre-salvation, you know, pre-understanding. A lot of people are in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
They're in that spot right now.
And there's a lot of Michaels and Nicoles out there that are sitting back wanting to know, you know, and I'm going to cry when I say this, and it's just the bottom line, but when your brain starts thinking about all the things that had to happen for you to come to the knowledge of truth, for example, we're sitting here in this table because the Lord put Jesse Martinez in our life.
Yeah.
Because they had a pastor like Yankee Arnold. And he says, hey, how about you get on YouTube? And I'm sitting up in Georgia, and I have nowhere to turn to.
Yeah.
And I'm reading the Bible, and it's like the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, how can I unless somebody guide me? And it's, that's the same way. And I'm like, one minute I'm reading the Bible, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to hell. And then the next minute I'm like, no, I'm saved. No, I'm saved. And
bouncing back and forth. No rest, no peace, just...
And because we're so thankful for you that you come up with this. Social media is like the word of mouth on steroids. I mean, it's the new, you know, it's the way we can reach these people. And that's why Nicole and I have started a YouTube channel. And we've done this thing because we're passionate about it, because that's how we were reached. And the guys, that the preachers out there that do have social media platforms on YouTube, it's in, you know, I just see the importance in it. Because if I was the only person that was ever reached by the YouTube ministry, it was worth it. Every bit of it is worth it. What we're doing here with all this, it's all worth it, because I've seen it change my family. I never told my brother to be a soul winner. I never told my dad to be a soul winner.
Yeah.
I never told my brother-in-law to be a soul winner. I never told my sister-in-law to be a soul winner. My sister, I never told them to go win souls. I never told them to clean up their life. I never did nothing. All I ever did to them was give them the gospel. And I'm going to take it to my grave. I've seen it work. You know, Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Greek. We quoted that every Sunday in church. And I had to
be the one that, where you're growing up.
Yeah. And I, this was like 3-4 years ago when I was here at Calvary. And I was like, oh, you know, okay, we get it, Paul. You're not ashamed of the gospel. I'm like, I'm not either. Come on, let's go. You know, I thought that was about. And I heard you. It was so funny because you had preached and Yankee had preached back to back. And y'all both talked about that verse, and I listened to the rest of it, and I was like, wait a second, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the gospel, is the power of God. I'm like, they're not taking the power of God out of the gospel. When you tell somebody what Jesus has done for them, you're not taking the power out of it. You're leaving the power of God in the gospel.
Absolutely. That's where the power is.
For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, not behaves. And so that's all I did to my brother. And I remember you and I would pray. We would always pray about my family. And we got other people we were still praying for. And we would always pray for them. And I'd see it work. So I here I am. They're bucking me. Well, they see it. My brother's in Bible college. He's a soul winner. He goes to church. He loves it. 3-4 years ago, I got a twin brother, by the way, people at home. He's 7 minutes older than me. But we love each other to death. But we can argue like cats and dogs, you know. And we couldn't stand to be in the same room 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Now we talk 3 or 4 times a day on the phone, and when we're talking, it's about Jesus. It's about the gospel. It's about the gospel. It's about what Jesus has done for us. It's about how we're so amazed. And we used to be there, like you said, Pastor. We used to be there, and we know that there's people out there just like us that are just waiting to hear the good news.
And they're in a church where they're getting bounced around.
They have nowhere to go.
One of the things, I know we've talked about it, but That this whole phrase, backloading the gospel, I've heard it a lot. I didn't come across that term until probably I met you. And although I knew what the term, when you explained to me what that phrase meant, I understood that. It's very prevalent in a lot of churches like the one that you grew up in. And it's worth noting, because I think there's a lot of, well, I don't think, I know. There's a lot of people out there that know the contents of the gospel, right? But their faith is not placed in Jesus Christ. They know how they can have eternal life. Well, they know how to be saved. Right. I don't even think people know that saved should mean eternal life in a salvific sense.
Yeah.
But they know the list points of the gospel. But if you were to say, how do you know that you're getting to heaven? They would say, because, which is telling you, my faith is in my good works. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't do this. And that's very prevalent, because you're going to hear, you know, especially with Calvinists, like, we don't have a bone to pick with Calvinists, because the Calvinist needs to get saved. But Calvinism, absolutely got a bone to pick there. We'll scrap.
Yeah.
Because that's where the problem is. But a lot of people don't realize that. And when they come out of this doctrine, they go, my faith was never in Jesus Christ. My faith was always in my performance.
Yep.
Every time I'll hear that same thing.
And that's where some of them's confidence comes from.
And that's where you were coming from.
Yeah.
The church.
And that's why I wasn't confident, because I was like definitely not, you know, keeping up to that standard.
Because faith is, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, now you see someone who's died for all of your sins. He is God in the flesh. and he came back, and he made a promise that he's coming back again, and he says, you'll never be passed.
Yeah.
You'll never be put back into condemnation. Amen. You're literally passed from death unto life.
Amen.
What's not to believe about that? That's good. But then if you look at self, it's like, I still have anger. I still have pride. I still have lust, whatever these things may be. You say, there's no way that someone like me would meet the standard of righteousness. Yeah. That's why people, they talk about it. Excuse me. They think about it, but they don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Because not a lot of people have the answers. So can you kind of share with us a little bit, you know, both of y'all, about that whole backloading experience of hearing something ruined. That sounds like it would save, but then works are tacked on to the end of the message or even into your Christian service?
Absolutely. You made me think of something. I heard a preacher say, he said, living the Christian life is not easy. It's impossible. Mm. And, you know, when I was told this message, you know, Nicole just, she just did, went from nothing to just all of a sudden giving her the clear gospel. Well, I thought I was at first. I did the ask you in your heart.
Yeah, he made me say the sinner's prayer. And
I didn't know any better at the time.
He led me the wrong.
But then I came back. I came back and I was like, remember all that stuff I told you? Scratch that. Yeah. Let's get to this. But I, you know, like the church I used to go to, and I know some of you guys that go to that church or you're going to be listening to this podcast, whether it's on this channel, Bibeline, or it's going to be on Fishers with Faith.
We will link your ministries. Channel in the description.
Thank you. Sure. So we're a new channel, but I know some of you are going to listen. Michael, what, you know, it's all the same. It's like, no, it is not. Mm. I was in church paying attention every Sunday. When I was there, I was, you know, I believe that I got saved at a young age, probably 7 or 8. I just knew that I was a sinner. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I was going to heaven, but I just knew that much.
Yeah. Praise God for Sunday school programs and Awana programs, man.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
But when I started paying attention in church, 12, 13, 14 years old, that's when I started doubting my salvation. Mm. I was like, wait a second, repent. I don't know what's going on here. But what does this mean? You mean I got to turn from my sins? I'm not understanding what's going on here. Nobody can answer my question. And 20, 30 years ago, well, I guess 30 something years ago, we didn't have a, we didn't know what a Strong's Concordance was or any of those things. You gotta go look up words in the Greek and stuff like that. So I'm sitting there and I'm paying attention. And that was the problem. I was paying attention. I was paying attention and I was listening to this false message. Well, when somebody looks at you and says to go to heaven, you have to repent of your sins and believe in Jesus. That's not believing in Jesus. That's believing in repenting of your sins. When somebody tells you, yep, all you have to do to go to heaven is dedicate your life to the Lord, ask him into your heart, do all these things. Well, you can ask the Lord into your heart 1,000 times. If you don't believe in him, you're not going to heaven. The Bible's very clear. There's one thing you have to do to go to heaven. That's believe. And that means to trust in, depend, and rely on. It comes from the Greek word pistuo. It means to trust in him. So I like the way Louis, when he soul wins, his second question, he comes right at you. What do you, you know, where are you going when you die? Heaven. What are you trusting? You know, and Grant said it on the podcast, and it was so great. Mm-hmm. He asked them the question, and they say, well, I. He says, well, what are you trusting in?
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like you're trusting in yourself. Well, what happens to that message, when you get that message, yeah, you got to repent of your sins. Well, what's the difference? It doesn't make a difference. Yeah, it does. Things that are different are not the same. Romans 11:6 says, if it's by grace, it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. If it be of works, it's no more grace. Otherwise, works is no more works. It's either one or the other. You either believe in Jesus or you don't. So this is what that message, and I don't think a lot of them, they're coming out of ignorance. Okay, they are. Well, when I go to talk to them, they don't want to hear it. Let's keep giving it to them because I love them, and I'm not going to stop. But because I know there's people there that don't want to do it. Here's where it's a problematic. It's the same thing with myself and my dad. You start not being able to live the Christian life. How many of the sins you got to turn from? All of them. You got to dedicate your life to the Lord. Commit. You know, if he's not Lord at all, he's not Lord at all, whatever they call
he's
it.
He's not Lord of all. Yeah. He's not Lord at all.
So you're sitting there, and what happens is, all right, tomorrow morning, I'm going to do it. I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to serve you, Lord. I'm going to by 12 o'clock, you know, you're just right back at it.
And so all people achieve in that is the, you know, avoiding the sin of commission.
Right.
But the things that you should do and you don't, those are counted as sin
and
too.
You still got the sin of omission. And and I'm sitting there. And so what happens to that is you get to a point where you're like, you know what? I'm not going to make it. Mm. So if I'm not going to make it, I'm tapping out. And that's what I did. That message drives a wedge between you and Jesus. Yes. And it'll drive you farther away from Jesus. And it did with me. It ruined my life. And I'm not, Michael, that's your fault. How you live? Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, ultimately it's my fault. And I accept responsibility for the way I've lived and things like that. But you know, a clear message might could have helped.
Pastors of churches are accountable for what they say and for what they don't say. I mean, if you're the pastor of a church and you're given an unclear message, you are leading people to slaughter. Mm. The believers in your congregation, if they're very young believers, I'm not talking about in age, I'm talking about in spiritual maturity, they will be led to apostasy. And the unsaved people in your church will stay that way. And yep. the devil, he's got the biggest cheerleading group for that pastor because
right.
it makes the gospel ineffective. It's not the same
and
message.
And it looks so similar. Mm-hmm. It looks so similar.
Oh, absolutely.
It's counterfeit. It's a counter. It looks just like the real $100 bill. It's so...
We were doing a series just a little while ago on that word faith. And I remember telling Trent, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this in 4 weeks.
Oh, man.
Because that word...
One word.
Yeah, that yeah. one word has been redefined. You can have a Calvinist and a free gracer. I don't like the tag free grace, but right. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Someone who believes the gospel and someone who believes in a Calvinistic gospel.
Yep.
They'll both say, I'm saved by faith alone in Christ alone. That's it.
Yeah.
But they will not be able to, the same two people will not be able to come to an agreement on the word faith. They'll use the word in the same salvific sense that you have to be saved by your faith in Jesus Christ, but the Calvinist means something different.
Yeah.
And that is the quintessential example of deception. It's really something else.
Yeah.
But people who are not trained, who do not know how to study their Bibles, who are going to church for an experience, I'll leave the person's name out, but I was talking to somebody and he was talking about he went to a church in his hometown he was visiting, and the pastor gets up there and, you know, everyone's got their coffee and donuts and stuff and everyone's kind of just like, you know, fellowshipping with each other. And the pastor gets up there and his sermon, 15 minutes, he gets on his iPhone, connects it to the projector, and he's looking at this goose on his lake. And he's just like, man, the creation of God, isn't this beautiful? You know, this duck, or whatever it is, this goose. And my friend, he's like looking around like, is this real?
Yeah.
I went on for about 15 minutes and everybody, I'm so blessed to be here, blah, blah, blah. That's Bible teaching today. Ain't nothing about Bible
very
teaching
awkward,
there.
Very awkward. We went through that. We would sit around and it was very awkward. I remember the first men's breakfast I came to here. Mm. Bob was like, you got your Bible? I was like, what? I was like, yeah, I got it on my phone. He's like, this is a Bible study. And I was like, because we would go to him up there and he'd be talking about the Falcons. They'd be talking about the Bulldogs. Or something. Yeah, you're exactly right. I'm like,
you get people like that now are looking for the truth because they're tired of that. They're tired of the faux Christianity, faux preaching stuff. So then they go to these churches where the Bible's taught. A lot of them are Calvinists. Go to these churches, they start learning real definitions. They start looking in the text accurately, but the gospel's wrong.
Yeah.
So now those people get caught up, and now they're in the cycle where you are, where you were, where both of y'all were, where it was like, am I doing enough? And, you know, or not, whatever it was. Now they come to the real truth.
Yep.
Somebody's either sharing the gospel with them or thank God for YouTube because it is getting the gospel out there to, I know there's people that are watching right now that would say I was led to Christ because of clear teaching on this platform.
Yeah.
But now they hear this and all of a sudden now they look back at that goose guy, you know, they look back at that kind of preaching. They say, but they look back at the preaching that was leading them to look at themselves. And they say, man, that was destructive.
Yeah.
And it's difficult for people to manage that as far as the emotions there, because at the end of the day, you got to strip that away and say, that guy needs to come to a clear understanding of the gospel. If he had the gospel clear and he was teaching the Bible correctly, now that's good. But he don't have the gospel clear, so he's not really teaching the Bible correctly. He'll get some things right contextually, but how it actually works out, if he thinks you're saved by works, that's not gonna save anybody.
I think it's actually like a, I mean, you call it a gift or a talent, how they can get up there and talk forever about nothing. Mm. I mean, it's about, you walk in there and you walk out and you feel good and you're like, what do I feel good? What
these guys are good at public speaking.
I learned absolutely nothing. I mean, no. I spent 35 years, learned nothing. It was like Paul, you know, he knew the Bible and he thought he was doing right. But when the Lord just, you know, the road to Damascus, when he got him, just turned him a little bit, he was, and that's kind of like it was with myself and my brother and my dad. We knew a lot of Bible, but we just needed that tweak. And our motivation was out of fear. Now it's out of love.
Absolutely.
It's a huge difference.
We were just talking about that at the last interview with Grant.
Yeah.
Like, you can't serve God out of joy and thankfulness and love, peace and security, if you don't know you're even going
to
see him.
Yeah. Well, hey, can I tell you how to doubt your salvation like me? Look, all you got to do is repent of your sins, dedicate your life to the Lord, and you might know you're going to heaven.
Yeah.
There's a preacher on TV. I'm not going to say his name, but he was a big preacher, and he says, only the elect go to heaven, which is true. The elect are the ones that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, He said, and you don't know you're the elect till you get there. And I'm sitting there thinking, have you read 1 John 5:13 where it says...
That reminds me of Sproul, man.
Yeah.
Right before he died, I'm pretty sure it was like a month or two before he passed, and he got really... It was either he got candid in an interview or he got candid from the pulpit, and he said, like, I don't know. I hope that I've done enough. I hope that this has been enough. And at the end of the day, all the things you'd be disappointed with about these Calvinists, we have to be careful we don't run that into them themselves. But at the end of the day, that man dies without faith in Jesus Christ, and it's over.
Breaks your heart. I know you've talked about it. I think you've talked about it on this show. And I want to talk about it again because it bothered me. I watched this video and tears were in my eyes. I remember just watching it. And it was the John MacArthur video where the girl named Hope.
Joy,
if you're listening.
That video haunts my mind.
Joy, if you're listening, we got some good news to tell you. You know, she goes up to him. She's crying and she says, how do I know if I've been elected? How do I know if I'm chosen?
Can take communion.
All this stuff. And he says, well, you know, do you feel bad about this? And I'm like, if you're listening, here's the simple gospel message. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that means to believe, trust in what he did on that cross by paying for your sins. He did it for you. You get to go to heaven. And that's it. 1 John 5:10, 11, 12, and 13. Read them. Because if you don't believe that, if you believe that you can lose your salvation or any of that, you're calling God a liar.
Absolutely.
Because you're not taking him at his word and you don't believe the record. And it says right there, and what is the record? This is the record that God gave of his son eternal. He gave to us eternal life. So if I'm not saved forever, I'm not saved.
That's right.
So you're either saved or you're not. And saved's supposed to mean something. You know, you can't get saved.
You're getting real good with that Georgia grammar.
No. I tell you. Yeah. But, you know, but it's simple. You know, John 6:40.
And it does break your heart when you see people that they just want to know.
Yeah.
And they go. I don't know. You know, sometimes I
think
to myself.
Are you trusting or trying? Are you
trusting or trying? How much does she spend to get there? How much time? What sacrifice, for her to get there and then get this answer? And then, you know, the sad truth is, and people have told us because, you know, we got critics and people are like, oh, you got to listen to the whole thing. She gained assurance. But what they say in the comments is she understood that her works were enough. Like, so now here you go. You got this young lady. She's there. She's going to get a little bit of stimulus from that.
Yeah.
She's going to get a little bit of hope from that. She can go back home and go right back to what brought her to that
conference.
And
it won't last long.
I'm still not doing everything like I should.
Yeah, it'll make her comfortable to the next conference.
Another thing I think we should put in the link on this video is C4C Apologetics. He has very good
Alabama.
I think it's Daniel Weyerbach. I think Pastor Weyerbach. I might be butchering his last name, but he has a very good series on people that have come out of Calvinism. They get on his show and they're telling you. And there's a young man on there. I believe his name is Caleb. He's up there in Utah, something. He's working with Mormons. He was a Calvinist the longest time. He started to doubt whether God really loved every single person that he was sharing the gospel with. Yet he'd still do it. But his gospel message, not anything.
Wow.
From what I can remember, it might have been a clear message, but I'm not sure. But as far as himself, he was looking to me, you know, to perform.
Yeah.
And he realized everything that he had learned from Calvinism, and he was a big MacArthurite, big Piperite, big Sproulite, all these people, he said they were intellectuals. These were people that just stood out as wise men. But he started to realize the God that they said existed in the Old Testament, New Testament, was not the God that he saw in the Bible.
Mm.
So he came to a change of mind, put his trust simply in Jesus Christ, renounced Calvinism. But for every person that does that, like Caleb, there's probably 100 that never do.
Oh, yeah.
And they quit,
like
what you were saying. It's like, if I can't do enough, what's the point of doing anything at all?
Yep.
Then those people have kids.
Yep.
And then their kids never hear it because the parents have no idea. Now, those kids, they don't even have a chance.
Yep.
Now, the Lord is faithful. He's lifted up the Son. He draw all men. So I believe everybody will have a chance to respond to the gospel. But as far as pastors and teachers, which is where we got off on this vein, not doing the right by their congregation and teaching the truth, they're going to be held accountable for that, especially if they're unsaved.
I've approached them, and they get, not all of them, so I'm not saying they get really offensive, and and you show them things in the Bible that you can tell they've never seen before, and they just walk off and run off and storm off. And they talk about, he's an intellect. Well, if he's so intellectual, how come he didn't believe the gospel?
Mm.
You know, how come he didn't just believe what the Bible says?
So now that y'all understand the gospel and you've shared how you got there, what has it enabled you to do? Mm. You know, now that you have peace, comfort, security, you got two beautiful kids. Mm. How does all this translate into real life?
Well, John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Mm-hmm.
And then 8:36, I think he says, and if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed.
Amen.
I'm free. And it's like that. I've heard Pastor Scruti use the illustration about the Golden Gate Bridge. They were building it to get to the gold, and they were having a lot of people fall to their deaths. So they built a net. Well, once people knew that they were secure, they got like 25 or 50% more productivity. Say that five times real fast. But they were producing more.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with us. Once I knew that I was saved, once I knew that I couldn't go to hell, once I knew that I was going to heaven, by simply just putting my trust in Christ, I was like, now I can go to work. And I'll never forget it. And I wanted to say this, like, Nicole and I, it's the power of God. And he has just, we went crazy with it.
More of a visionary, and then I'm more of the doer.
Yeah, so she together. Is. And people that know us know, and people that know us know that that's true. And I'm the talker too. But the, you know, I'm sitting, I'll never forget this, but when we got involved. So like I live a far away, a distance from here. And for 4 years, we went to this church four or five years from Georgia. I mean, I didn't even know that y'all were down here at first. I've been listening to Yankee for a year, and I talk about it in the book and everything. And it's a crazy story how the Lord works and how he's gotten us here and stuff. And people are like, you go all the way down to Tampa to church? And I'm like, there's a reason. Mm. There's a reason. You know how many muddy churches I pass? I'm not going. I can hear that message anywhere. I can hear that on the street side. This is the gospel. This is the Bible. So we did all that. I got in Bible college, became a deacon here, and just got on fire. I just can't shut up. I can't keep my mouth shut, and I want to tell everybody. So I'll never forget it when I was fixing to have the surgery, and they were fixing to wheel me back to the surgery room. Nicole and I remember I put my hand on her. She was standing on this side, though. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I said, if I get out of here, let's go to work. Mm-hmm. I remember saying that. You remember that? I said, let's go to work. And we did. And the Lord brought me through it. And we've been working ever since, haven't we?
We got out.
We started a Fishers with Faith ministry in December. We've got a YouTube channel, Facebook. We've got books. We've got a website. The bottom line is we just want to tell people how to go to heaven. That's what we're here for, man. You know.
Well, and it's really easy when you're out in public and you don't have, say, a heaven track or something, and somebody is really engaged and they want to know about your ministry or how to go to heaven. It's very quick to give them a link to go to be able to pull that information up.
Yeah.
So that was one of the main reasons I think we started the website initially, was because it was a quick resource for us to give people in passing.
Yeah. And we still do. Like, before we had our stuff, and we still do it. I still use Yankee and Can I Know? Is that the one?
Can I Know? Yeah, ours. Yeah.
I always say or something. But I remember I was eating at Herschel's in Newport Richey, and that's my son's middle name, so we thought that was pretty cool. And there was a girl sitting there with a baby, and I gave her that card. This was like 3 years, or whenever you first came out with it.
Well, that was
and
a while ago.
I walked in. I said, hey, she's on her phone. I said, look at this real quick. You know how to do this scan. I came out and she was almost in tears just looking at that. And that's so easy when you can do that. So if you're at home and you're listening and you don't know how to soul win, get Heaven Tracks, go to Yankees 4-Minute Gospel, go to Pastors Can I Know? We've got one, How to Avoid Going to Hell.
Yeah.
And just let me or Jesse or Yankee do it. I did it the other day with myself because I said, watch this video. And I showed them the video and they were like, wow, you know, so.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
It's powerful, especially when people see something put together, it's well done, and it has a level of quality that brings that respect is not the word, but that's kind of what it is. But I think what is great about that part of where your ministry is now, I know you got a couple books here we're going to talk about, but I know that y'all have been soul winners. I mean, I met you, like I said, 2018, and you guys, I think one of the funniest things is you had moved down here. And you heard Yankee in a service. He's like, yeah, down here in Tampa. And you're like, Tampa? That's, you know, 30 minutes away. But, I mean, there's been no question that y'all have been sharing the gospel. But it's apparent to me and to people that know you, since that massive surgery back in December, you've ramped it up. I mean, and I think that's good. I remember we prayed for the all the years that I've known you, my wife Kyla and I, we would pray for your heart.
Yeah.
Because it would always just seem like one step forward, three steps back. One step forward. Mm-hmm. Couldn't find a doctor. Oh, it's your nose. Oh, it's this, it's that. And I can imagine how that gets in the way of being able to do what you want to do and serving the Lord. But then I remember you were at the hospital this last time. And I remember telling Kyla, I was like, one of two things is going to happen here. This is either going to be it. He'll be with the Lord in glory. And if so, Lord's will be done. Or this is going to be the culmination of answered prayer. And to me, and of course, you know, I only see one side of things as far as from what I know. But I've seen how God has taught you so many things during this time, both y'all.
Still growing.
Still growing. Rely on me. Do what you can where you are with what you got. And it's like always, people are always trying to look for, if I only had this, knew that, had this. No, what do you have now? You got Jesus. You have everything you need. I mean, amen. That's what John means in 1 John 2.
Period.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it makes us lean more into him.
Absolutely.
So it's, absolutely. When you go through these hard times, it makes me feel like he wants me to come closer. And it does. It causes us to get closer to him.
I want the people at home to know this because this is powerful. This is the best thing that has ever happened to me. I wouldn't trade my heart, congenital heart defect, for nothing. Mm. This is from God. It's a blessing. If it wasn't for this, I would still be just whatever. And my dad used to always say, sometimes for the Lord to get you to look at him, he's got to put you on your back. Mm. And that's what he did with me, and I needed it. And let me tell you the difference. You know, besides the fact that the message that we have is the message of the Bible, it's the gospel, it's the clear gospel message. We use that phrase a lot. But when we came down here, I didn't know Yankee was down here, and I'd been listening to him on YouTube. And I go to this church, and the preacher comes up to me. And the first thing he says to me is, "You going to sign up for our church?"
This is not Calvary. Yeah. This is a different church.
This is a different church. This is a different church. Not, "Hey, how are you doing? My name is so-and-so. What's your name?" I got one kid in my hand. She's got a kid in her hand. "Hey, how are you doing? You going to sign up for our church?" I'll never forget it. I was like, "Yeah, if you can explain to me what this means on your plan of salvation on your website. It says here to go to heaven." And I think they backloaded the gospel. You have to believe in Jesus and repent of your sins.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, "Yep, that's right. You got to repent of your sins." I said, "That's works." And then, "Nope, that's just something you'll do if you're saved." So I took him to Jonah 3:10. I said, "Well, Jonah 3:10, it says, 'And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way.'" That tells you right there that turning from evil is a work. Mm. I said, "What do you think the word repent means?" He goes, "Turn from your sins, turn from the way you're living and turn somewhere else." I said, "No, it just means change your mind." I said, "It says right here in the very next line, 'And God repented and of the evil he said he would do unto them and did it not.'" So you're telling me God turned from his sins? Something's going on here. But anyway, that was the first time I met him. The first time I met Yankee, he grabs me.
Sounds like Yankee.
And it's so funny because like when you're talking to Yankee and these guys, they don't realize you've been listening to them for hours on end.
I know
in their sermons. Yeah, but they don't know anything about, you know.
Yeah.
So I go up to him and I'm like, yeah, I know. He's like, I come up to him and, "Hey, I'm Michael. I found out he's on YouTube." And he grabs me and he pulls me aside right out here in this gymnasium. And he says, "Where are you going when you die?"
Mm.
One preacher wanted my wallet. The other one cared about my soul.
Amen.
And that's the difference. And you can just see it.
Yeah.
God's paying, I know that the people that I grew up with, they're probably, are they making fun? Well, that's just Michael, or they did the same thing with Jesus. But I have also had a lot of friends that are supportive too. And so I can't, I'm not saying that, but.
Well, the best thing is God is faithful.
Yeah.
We're doing this for him.
Yeah. And if they're persecuting us, you're just stacking up more rewards.
Jesus told us to expect it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
so y'all got some books. I'd love to have y'all share with the audience, and we're going to put people can get them or get a hold of you. But can you share with us what these are?
So Michael wrote a book. I'll let you explain your book a little bit.
Yeah. So I wanted to write a book because I knew that when I came to the knowledge of truth, I was like, whoa, people don't know what we know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know this. If all these other churches had the same message I had, I probably wouldn't be doing a lot of the work. I'll be honest with you, because I'd be like, they're doing a good job. If they can't get in there, they're doing a good job. They got this and that. But what we are saying is the clear gospel message, and I know there are a lot of people that have it. So I wrote this book for people that were in the situation that I was in that are searching. They're looking for answers, And I'm telling you right now, and you'll remember this later, especially if you read this book, but if you know the gospel and if you know the two natures, if you understand those two doctrines, and I don't even really call them doctrines, this is what it is what it is, you will understand so much of the Bible and it will answer so many questions. You know, Michael, you mean to tell me you can't go to hell? That's right, because Christ paid for my sins. He died for my sins. Michael, why do you do what you do? Because Christ died for my sins. Why do you take the time out of your day to do a YouTube channel, write a book and all this stuff? Because Christ died for my sins. Amen. It answers all my questions. You mean to tell me you can just live higher anyway? Yeah, because Christ died for my sins. And I live the way I do, and I always like, I cleaned up my life. I don't even like to do that. But, you know, I used to drink and smoke. And I don't do those things no more. But I don't do them to go to heaven. I'm doing them because I'm going to heaven.
Yeah.
But there were some tough Bible verses that I had, like Matthew 7, Hebrews 6, 4, and Hebrews 10, 26, and the Laodicean church, and Revelation, and 3:20, and things like that, that I had questions with. I had so many questions. And this is a very simple book that answers and will walk you through those tough verses and the tough things. Always use the easy verses to explain the hard ones. If you see a hard verse, well, this says that. That's contrary to what you're saying. No, you need to study it. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So once you start studying it, you know, and this makes it easy. So this is a very, and you said it one time, and I liked it. I was like, yeah, it's a rudimentary book. It's simple.
Yeah.
It's very simple book. This will get you, you know, and this isn't, you know, to replace the Bible or anything like that. This is just to lead people to the Lord and to the Bible. And half of this book, to be honest with you, is the Bible. Half of this book is the Bible. It ain't half the Bible, but it's, I talked for a little bit and I just put a Bible verse supporting.
And the verses are in there, which is
Spelled out.
Helpful. Yeah.
They're spelled out. And then, so it took me 3 years when I got out of my surgery, I was like, I'm finishing this book.
Yeah.
And so that's what got us on it. And we had a really good, editor, David Bauer. He's awesome.
Shout out to DB, man.
Dude, he turned the book into a 1, made it a 10. You know, he's awesome.
David's awesome.
And it took me 3 years to write this, and it took Nicole 30 minutes to write this one. And this is the best one, to be honest with you, Nicole's.
Yeah.
You tell us about it, Nicole?
So simple and so awesome.
My book is titled Mommy, What is Heaven? And basically it's just our kids are starting to get a little bit older. They ask us questions, and, you know, Mommy, What is Heaven? Is how do I answer that for a 5- and a 6-year-old? Mm-hmm. And it's really based on a level for anybody, really. It's just a simple, maybe 2-3 minute read.
Mm-hmm. 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
It's on a reading level of a kindergartner. So my kids can read it, and it just explains through scripture on how to go to heaven. What is heaven? And, you know, we want to do a series of these books of just simple questions that kids ask and then answer those questions through scripture on a level that they can understand. And it's something that it's nice for a parent to be able to sit down and read to their kids at night or throughout the day. Just something very simple.
We have people that will send us video of them reading this book to their kids. And you want to talk about tears? Nicole and I over there, we can't even talk to each other, and they're reading this book to their kids. And then they'll have they'll video their kids, 4, 5, and 6 years old, reading it. And it's so powerful. And it's awesome. And this book, I just had a preacher call me, and he wants to order 20 of them. He wants to teach a class with it. Very simple. He's having problems in their church with a lot of people that are coming in. Mm. One lady said the other day, like, you make it sound too easy or something. You know,
so. You want to make it harder.
Oh, yeah. It's like, but you look at some verses, like, that's what we're talking about. Like, that's what this answers these questions. I talk about what Bible should we use and stuff like that. Because, like, there are other verses that are perverted that say difficult is the way. Well, that's not what the Lord says. The Lord says narrow is the...
I think you meant versions, right?
Not besides, like, and I'm not a KJV-only kind of guy. Don't say that. But I'm just saying the KJV and the New King James and stuff, they say Jesus said narrow is the way. And then later on, he says, I am the way. So the way is Jesus. And people say, the way, and I get Jesus, and I can live a better life. No. No, with man it's impossible. With God all things are possible. The only way you can go to heaven is to believe in him, not clean up your life, or now I got Jesus and I got the Holy Spirit, so now I can clean up my life and that's why I get to go to heaven. Because No. As soon as you believe his righteousness,
see how deceptive that is?
It's so
simple. Like, they'll hear the truth of the gospel, but still their faith is not in Jesus. Their faith is in their performance.
Yeah. And it's such a simple thing.
It is such a simple thing.
And people just, you know.
That's why I know there's work to be done.
Amen.
There is work to be done, and I see people like you guys who are doing the work.
Yeah.
And I pray for you.
Thank you.
And that's why I wanted to make sure that we got your interview down, because I mean, all this is important. There's a lot of people that are doing a lot of things out there, but how many people are sharing the gospel? Mm. How many people are making it a part of their daily activity to find somebody and get them the good news?
If you want to look at a goose, if you want to look at a, if y'all want to look at some God's creation, go to Fishers with Faith Ministries on our YouTube channel.
That's right, yeah.
And we're using, I know today's youth or whatever, even us, even myself, we have a short attention span. So we're trying to, we 5-10 minute videos, we're trying to make it interesting enough for people to stay tuned and we'll answer.
It's good. I like your videos.
Thank you, thank you.
You've done what, like 6 now?
No, I think we're up to 11. But wow. We want to do it one a week. I wish I could do it full time, but life gets in
the way. All that is important. I mean, you put it on there and people will find it.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's one person.
Yeah.
I sometimes think about that when we see videos that don't perform as well as we'd like. It's right. Like, hey, does that have more than one?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
a good thing.
Our one video has more because it's got a 5-pound bass on it as opposed to the other one that doesn't have something. But the main thing is to just, we want to keep answering difficult Bible verses. And we just started, so have patience with us and we'll get
Well, going. We'll link it in the description Thank here, you. And that's how people can reach you too. We'll also put how they can get your books. I mean, I've read the Mommy, What is Heaven? Beautiful, very simple. It's a great way to talk to your kids about the gospel without getting in there and trying to, you know, clap out the syllables for justification. You know,
yes.
It's simple. It's on a kid's level. And Jesus speaks very harshly about those who offend children.
Yeah.
So I think when we make the gospel simple and easy for children to understand, God bless it. And that's a good thing.
Amen.
And the What Happened to the Gospel by Dr. Michael Brown. Just kidding. Don't pay attention to that guy.
Maybe one day.
But the What Happened to the Gospel, I read that in one night. Mm. It's a good read, and it is very entry-level, and that's not a critique at all.
Yeah.
You put that in somebody's hands who either just got saved or is looking for the truth, and they're even a little antagonistic. Like, that's how I read that.
Yeah.
There are some people who might have critiques against the free gospel. They should read that because it puts things into perspective. I think that's important for people shifting perspective.
Yeah.
People are suffering from illustration fatigue. Mm. There's way too many illustrations, and there's not good contextual Bible.
Oh, man.
And that's good contextual Thank Bible. You. And it's simple. So we'll make sure that we link all that.
Spoiler alert, nothing happened to the gospel. It's the same. Man has perverted it.
And sure has.
So.
Well, it's been great. I really appreciate you guys coming on. And
thank you for having
thank
us. We're honored.
Us,
yes. No problem.
Thank you so much.
And if you're watching this on Fishers with Faith, they want to get me on that boat.
Bible Line.
So you know what to pray for.
Bible Line Ministry. Comment below if you want to see Jesse on that boat. So.
And come out alive, you know what I'm saying?
Amen. Sack lunches, we're ready.
If you're watching and you'd like to send in a question, send it to us. Email questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Make sure that you like, comment, share, subscribe to this video. Get it out to as many people as you can. If you know people in your life that you're struggling with and they're backloading the gospel, they're in a church that just doesn't have the gospel clear because they're adding works to it on the back end, send them this video in out of love. And because I believe the gospel is taught here, I know that the Lord will be in it. So Amen. It's been good to spend time with you guys today. And until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon.
Amen. Love you, Jesse.
If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.